This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadrons Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast, and Retro Inc. Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 59 of Tatooine Sons. The rumor mill is cranking out episode 9 theories faster than B1 droids on Geonosis. We're looking at four that we think are the most interesting. Plus, we'll recap Doza's dilemma and discuss the First Order's occupation of the Colossus. And of course, we'll give our hot takes and poll results. You can't stop the change any more than you can stop the suns from setting. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Tervis?
Joe. Oh, do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars, from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am Baby Nate, and I am joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
True to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you're probably not listening, so it doesn't really matter anyway.
All right. Well, okay. That's what you come up with at the last minute when you can't think of anything else, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And, of course, you can have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So, on that note, here's my dad's bow tie Jedi got.
Happy Saturday morning, gentlemen.
Happy Saturday morning.
For those of you listening to this on Anchor or iTunes or Stitcher or Spreaker or Blog Talk Radio or CastBox or Podbean or Radio Free...
I just need to have you reading it and then like iHeartRadio, all that list of all those things,
or even watching or listening to it on YouTube because it's available on YouTube as an audio. You know, it's a video. It's weird. It's a video, but it's an audio on YouTube. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, happy Monday. You're probably a few of you, if you're listening to this on Monday morning, you may be having that post Super Bowl hangover from watching the game, drinking a few brews with your friends and family, and. And that kind of thing. But I hope you're doing well. If it's Monday morning when you listen to this, I am in this moment starting my very first sales training class for Home Advisor, teaching that class for my new job. So that will be a lot of fun. I am super...
A lot of people are going to be hungover, like you were just saying.
No, I don't think that new people... I hope not. I hope they don't come to their first day on the job, literally. Hungover. I hope they show up ready to go because we've got a lot to cover that first day in training. But I'm excited about it. But let's just be honest. The last couple of weeks has kicked my butt as far as scheduling and things like that go. I have been I spent a week in Denver, outside of Denver, actually, in Golden, which if you watched the Super Bowl, you may have seen a Coors Light commercial, Coors commercial. They're based in Golden, Colorado. But that's not it. The Home Advisor is based in Colorado, and you may have seen a Home Advisor commercial If you were paying attention during that. So anyway.
I always pay attention to commercials.
The commercials are like what half the people that watch the Super Bowl are.
That's the only reason why I watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I shared on Twitter today, today's the 8th anniversary of Volkswagen's commercial with the kid that's dressed up as Darth Vader. And he's trying to use the Force on all these different things. And none of it's working. And then his dad comes home from work. Or gets up in the morning, one of the two, I don't remember what it is, and he's standing there in the kitchen looking out at the kid, and the kid is standing there as Darth Vader trying to get the car to start, and he uses his remote keyless entry to start the car, and the kid jumps back and freaks out a little bit, thinking he did that. It's one of the best commercials ever.
I know, I've always loved that commercial.
And so today's the 8th anniversary of that, so lots to talk about that. But anyway, the schedule issues that have gone on have interfered with Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, just a little bit. So I wanted to give a quick explanation as to what's been going on. The reality is, as far as planning, producing, editing, posting, social media, everything that we do, we start with Tatooine Sons, both on the main podcast and then Patreon, as well as YouTube and social media and all that kind of stuff, that falls squarely on my personal shoulders. And with everything going on with work over the last few weeks, it's just kept me from being able to focus as much on it. So I just wanted to give a quick explanation for everybody and explain why that's been going on.
No!
I know, it's disappointing. I want to be more involved with what's going on social media too, Darth Vader. But anyway... an explanation as to why I haven't been as active on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram especially, and then why we haven't had Star Wars Rebels revisited over the last couple of weeks. Our goal is to go ahead and get those episodes planned out in the next couple of days. Watch those 4 episodes, which is always a good thing. Anytime we can watch. Okay, so I'm just distracted a little bit right now because it's Saturday morning and Nathan just threw on some clothes and a ball cap and decided in the middle of our podcast intro here to take off his ball cap.
They hit the mic and they probably heard it.
Oh, so it's like tapping the mic.
And it's going to keep doing that.
And the reality is his hair, Sam's going to take a picture of his hair. Smile at the camera, BB Nate. All right, so Sam's literally, as we speak, taking a photo of that, which we'll put up on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram a little bit later today, so you can see what BB Nate's hair looks like now that he took off his hat. It's totally throwing him.
It really hats is. Always do
so
that.
Distracting.
Yeah. So anyway, so hopefully we'll be able to watch those next 4 episodes of Rebels, which I'm so disappointed by that. Having to watch those today, so I'll watch those in the next couple of days. We'll get the Super Bowl out of the way. I'll get the first class out of the way. And then we'll be good to go and hopefully be able to get Rebels revisited back up starting in a couple weeks and get back engaging with Twitter a little bit more and Facebook and Instagram even. So that's what's going on with that. Only other thing really happening this weekend, I mean, we've got like tomorrow morning I'm leading the music at church for the first time since we moved to Colorado. They asked me to fill in, so that'll be interesting. Always a little bit nervous when you're leading with people you've never led with before as far as instrumentalists.
And they're all old and they judge very easily.
All right. Thanks, BB Nate.
I'm just saying that's the church. Like, a couple people in the choir are like that as well.
So. Yeah, just kind of like, hey, we like it a certain way, and if you don't do it that way, we're going to let you know.
Yeah, and you're doing the
But let's just be really honest. I have no worries about that at all. Okay. I just want to do the job the best way that I can and help people be able to focus on Sunday morning on Christ. And so we'll do that. So that'll be good. And then tomorrow afternoon, we're going to be going to look at a house in the afternoon, which is cool. Hopefully we can find a place to live other than mom's basement or Grammy's basement in the next few weeks. And then the Super Bowl. Rams and Patriots.
I got a bad feeling about this.
So I'm going to go ahead and we're just going to jump right in. We're going to do some Super Bowl predictions. And it'll already have happened by the time that you guys hear this. So I'm going to ask Sam, Patriots or Rams, who do you got in the Super Bowl?
Who do I want?
You can do both. Who do you want and who do you got?
I want the Rams, got the Patriots.
God, I hate the Patriots.
I know.
So I checked, like, people are arguing that the Patriots don't cheat.
Right, Patriots fans say that the Patriots don't cheat.
Yeah,
everybody
and
else
somebody
says
decided to make up a cheat.
Did you hear about the kid that did the science fair, the 10-year-old kid?
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. It. So he like literally did a science fair project proving that the Patriots cheat and got first place. It was awesome.
They did a cheat scorecard.
Great
and it
kid.
Said,
don't get cocky.
Yeah.
The top 20 people that cheat, and the Patriots weren't even up there. God, and the Denver Broncos were the top.
Oh, that's awesome.
That no, of how sense. Bad they cheated. Like, the Broncos were the worst cheating team in the NFL.
Which only is... when we had Josh McDaniels, who's the offensive coordinator for the Patriots now.
It's ridiculous.
He literally got fired because he was caught cheating, and Pat Bowlen, the owner, who's going into the Hall of Fame, he's going to be announced today probably that he's going into the Hall of Fame. Pat Bowlen fired him as soon as he found out that he was cheating. So, and then guess who picked him up? The Patriots. So anyway, so we'll watch the Super Bowl. Okay, BB Nate, who do you have? Who do you want?
I want the Rams. I think that's everybody, mainly.
Everybody but the people in New England and then Saints fans.
Yeah.
Because of what happened in the NFC Championship. But anyway, who do you think is going to win?
I think the Rams.
Yeah, all right.
They have a fighting chance.
I think the Rams are going to beat them. I do too. I really do. I think that, and I mean, I wouldn't wish ill on any football player. I've done that once and they broke their leg the next play. And so I don't want to do that. But if Tom Brady's career somehow, like he just decided he didn't want to play football anymore after this game, that would be
No, that would he be... says he's going to win at least two more Super Bowls.
I know. He's.
He said he's going to retire at 45
great
no matter
kid.
What.
Don't get cocky.
Yeah. He said he's going to retire at 45, but he said he's going to win two more Super Bowls.
This is madness.
Yeah, exactly. So. All right, ratings and reviews. No ratings and reviews this week. So if you guys, if you're a listener, which we're like averaging about between 1,200 and 1,500 listeners a week right now. Thank you guys so much for that, by the way. If you're one of those 1,200 to 1,500 people that listen to our podcast and you haven't given us a review on iTunes, we would love for you to swing on over there, give us 5 stars and a review, and we'll read it exactly as you write it as long as it's family-friendly. And clean. So if you have a podcast, you have a website, you have a YouTube channel, you have something like that that you want to plug, you can insert that into the review yourself and you're going to get a plug. So that's, you know, it's a win-win. We get a review and a rating from you, which we absolutely love, and you get a plug. We're stealing that from one of the other Commonwealth podcasts. Talk Star Wars does that, so I've stolen that from them. But they're cool and they don't mind. And then Patreon. Patreon supporters, you guys are absolutely amazing. I just sent you guys a quick video update about what's been going on with us and why we didn't have Rebels Revisited.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Yeah. Why we didn't have that the last couple of weeks, or why we didn't have it last week, and why we're not going to have it the next week. And so an explanation on that, and just you guys deserve that explanation because we can't do this podcast without you. On that note, if you want to become a Patreon supporter of Tatooine Sons, we'd love for you to swing on over to patreon.com/Tatooine Sons, watch our welcome video, look at the different tiers. Even $1 a month can make a huge impact on us. We'd love to see if we can get to that next goal, which is $250. We're at like $201 a month right now. Which is amazing, honestly. Thank you guys so much. But anyway, if you can help us get to that next level, we're going to go ahead and we are going to record an audio commentary to all the Maul episodes from Star Wars Rebels. And that would be a lot of fun for you guys as you rewatch those amazing episodes, hearing our commentary on it, because Star Wars Rebels is what brought Sam and Nate into Star Wars fandom fully. So we're excited about that. I guess that's pretty much it for... the pleasantries at the beginning. Yeah. So I guess we're going to jump right into this last week's podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it.
What?
All right, so last week's podcast poll of the week, I got like a couple hundred votes on it. You know, anytime we talk celebration, you got a group of fans that are really passionate about it, and then everybody else that can't go,
yeah,
which is most people. And so poll results and things like that, they tend to be – although I'm really surprised that last week's podcast, which was really all about Star Wars Celebration, actually has been one of our most listened to podcasts in weeks. So
to make sure that people – to see if people want to go to the Monday.
Go to Monday, yeah. Because we're shills. for Star Wars and Disney, and we get paid to promote things like this, right? Yeah.
What the heck's a shill?
A shill? So that you haven't heard about that? So like all the positive people that like The Last Jedi and the sequel movies and all that kind of stuff, there's this like conspiracy theory that we're all being paid by Disney. We're shills for Disney, which is like a kind of an anti-Semitic Yiddish slang against Jews, honestly. That is where it got started for. It's not usually accepted that way now, but that's where it got its origin from. But the idea that, you know, like money grubbing, you need to do anything for money, which is kind of got an anti-Semitic.
So millions and millions of worldwide fans are getting paid off.
No, just those people that do YouTube videos, websites, podcasts, and stuff like that talk positively about it. Yeah, we're all getting paid by Disney.
Breaking.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Breaking news, we do not get paid by Disney.
We don't. We'd
Although
love
they
to,
want to.
If they want to pay us to do
we're
this.
We're totally down.
We will take your money.
But we were definitely not paid by them to say anything.
Yeah. So anyway, so last week's podcast poll of the week was all about Star Wars Celebration. And let's see what we got. The question was, other than the episode 9 teaser or trailer, what are you most hoping for from Star Wars Celebration Chicago? And we have four options: the Kenobi movie announcement, Rian Johnson trilogy info, Game of Thrones series info, meaning the Benioff and Weiss. And I got in trouble because people were like, what are you talking about, Game of Thrones? There's no Game of Thrones movie. What are you talking about? It's not to do the Star Wars. And then they were like, oh wait, you're talking about the Benioff and Weiss thing, why didn't you just say that from the beginning? And that's reasonable. And then other comment below. So honestly speaking, 39%, the highest vote getter were people that wanted more info on Rian Johnson's trilogy.
Above the Kenobi 1% above the Kenobi.
Yeah, but what's interesting about that is I thought everybody hated The Last Jedi.
Yeah, and Rian Johnson was a horrible person.
The people that went to Star Wars Celebration were not. Like, people that go to that are diehard Star Wars fans and probably aren't toxic or anything like that.
There's a lot of, you know, diehard toxic Star Wars fans.
I understand. But, like, people got frustrated at Force Awakens and you didn't see much hate or anything towards that.
No, but Celebration was a very positive environment, at least for us. And we're excited about going back in a couple months. I can't believe that. Like 60 days, 63 days.
That's it?
4 days, something like that. It's like crazy. Anyway, so Rian Johnson's trilogy got the highest votes with 39%.
Impressive. Most impressive.
I agree. Darth Vader. All right, and then 38% right behind that was a Kenobi movie announcement, which I would be pretty pumped with that as well. So that's pretty cool.
Is it possible for two options to tie?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They could tie.
They did.
And then the Game of Thrones series, the Benioff and Weiss got into 14%, and then 9% commented with other things. And so we've got a couple of you guys and your comments below. We're going to start with who's got the first one?
I'll call it.
All right, don't do that. Don't do that, voice. You're not good at it. Okay.
Ian Thompson.
One of our amazing Patreon supporters, by the way.
Yes, and his Twitter handle is @ Iant DC, IANT.
So I think that stands for Iant DC. So
yes. Okay. DC. And he said, all of these things would be great, specifically at Celebration. I really hope I get to see John Williams doing his Star Wars thing one last time. I'd also love to see a 20th anniversary panel celebrating Phantom Menace so that we can show Ahmaud Best how much we love him.
Yeah, I think that would be really amazing to see a panel like that and like a standing ovation for Ahmaud Best. I think even a standing ovation for Jake Lloyd, who played Anakin in The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
And he was treated pretty badly by a lot of fans, supposed fans, during the Phantom Menace time. And then we've got, you know, I'd love to see that panel include, you know, the whole group. Bring in Natalie Portman, bring in Ewan, bring in Liam Neeson, bring in Ian McDiarmid, bring in, you know, all of these different...
Hayden Christensen.
Well, Hayden wasn't in The Phantom Menace, so it wouldn't make sense to bring him.
Yeah.
But all of those people, and let this be like a reintroduction to fandom for those people, and let the fandom celebrate those guys at Celebration. So I'd love that. But then I want to talk about his first idea, this idea of John Williams playing the score of something at Star Wars Celebration one last time. You know, he's not going to be doing any more movies after episode 9. Do you think that they're going to bring him in and let him do some stuff with
Definitely.
That?
Definitely.
I hope.
Yeah. That was an amazing moment in Orlando.
Even though we weren't at the live stage for it, like the whole Overflow Sage was like it was rusting.
Yeah, so if you don't know what we're talking about, they did the 40th anniversary panel of Star Wars, the Star Wars 40th anniversary panel. Thursday morning. That was the first thing, and you had Billy Dee, you had Harrison, you had George, you had Luke or Mark, you had Billy Lord there in representing Carrie Fisher. You had who else was in there? Peter Mayhew was there. Anthony Daniels was there. Just about everybody was there for that. It was an amazing thing, and then they do this tribute to Carrie Fisher that's being read by Billy Lord, which was absolutely amazing. And as this video ends, that's a montage of some of the greatest highlights from Star Wars of Carrie Fisher, some of her quotes and interviews and things. Absolutely awesome. This curtain goes up and you hear Princess Leia's theme from the original soundtrack of Star Wars Episode 4. And you see John Williams and the Orlando Philharmonic Orchestra playing Princess Leia's theme all the way through. It was chilling. It was one of the most amazing moments. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm giddy. I'm like literally getting a chill up my spine just thinking about it.
It was so cool.
And you love the music of this, Sam. Yeah. And that was like a really highlight.
Yeah,
for you,
I really wish I was in the stage, the main room. But it was really cool. Yeah,
it was amazing. So awesome. Okay, Sam, you're next.
Oh yeah. So this is from Roku Depot.
Yeah, Roku Depot. Let me talk just real quick. Thank you guys so much for reviewing us again last week and putting us on your list of podcasts to listen to and giving us a review and for our last episode. You guys are absolutely awesome. We really do appreciate you doing that every time. Thank you guys so much. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that while I was there.
And they say other trailer for The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of people are looking forward to in Chicago is more meat regarding The Mandalorian. Do you see that Jon Favreau tweeted out another photo of
Bad motivator droid?
Yeah, it looked like the bad motivator droid. Yeah, from Episode 4.
I think it's
R5. I think it's more indication that we're on Tatooine in The Mandalorian.
R5-D4, I think is what
R5-D4. Okay. I really do think that means that we're going back to Tatooine. We've got Jawas, we've got Tusken Raiders, we've got Sands, land speeders, we've got
Tatooine.
The bad motivator droid with it. So I think that's going to be cool.
But I think we're going to get. Do you think we'll get the first episode?
Oh, I'd love to have a panel with the first episode. Jon Favreau come out and do that like Filoni does. With that, and it would be Filoni's episode because he's doing the first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So have him on there. Oh,
jeez,
that would be awesome. So. Cool. All right, and the last one is from one of from our Star Wars Tatooine Sons legend supporter on Patreon, JG Kars. He booked his flights. He already had his tickets. He booked his flights, got his hotel room. He's good to go. We're going to go for some deep dish pizza on Thursday night.
And
all of our Patreon supporters are welcome to join us for dinner that night in Chicago Thursday night. So if you're interested in that, just message us on Twitter or send us a tweet and let us know you want to be a part of it. You okay over there, BB Nate?
I'm fine.
Okay, I thought like you were like taking off a Band-Aid or something.
Oh, no. I'm just...
He's fidgeting. Okay.
Fidgeting.
With a piece of tape on a cardboard box. Okay. JG Carr says, I think hope... Cool. We will get the announcement of how we're going to get the next part of the Sabine and Ahsoka quest for Ezra and Thrawn, whether it be a novel, comic, TV series, film on Disney Plus, however we'll get it, it'll be teased by Filoni.
Is this like a scoop?
He's a pretty good, pretty smart Star Wars fan because he's supporting us on Patreon.
That's true.
hold on. This one deserves this.
That's not how the Force works.
So anyway, yeah. So what do you guys think? Do you think that we're going to get something that explains that that Sabine and Ahsoka are on their way to find Ezra and Thrawn? Something's going to be announced for that?
I think we'll get a little hint of something.
I hope we do. But I just don't know. It's not... They have so much to cram in. There's so much Star Wars content coming out this year. And they have so much to cram in Celebration for 5 days. Basically 4 with panels. So I really hope they do because I want to see where it goes, but I just don't know how to do it.
I hope so. I love that's a great idea, JG, by the way. I think that that's pretty awesome. All right. I guess that's going to cover it for our podcast poll of the week and our other kind of that stuff.
That stuff.
Yeah. All right that there. Little discussion. Yeah.
All right, so last week, Captain Doza faced a difficult dilemma as his daughter, Tora, was kidnapped by pirates. Should Captain Doza accept the First Order's offer of protection? Let's talk about it on this week's Star Wars Resistance Recap.
We've a mission for you.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
How do we blow it up? There's always a way to do that.
Droid, please.
Light it up.
We need assistance.
I know, but I just I there's just one of me.
Why do we even keep you around?
I don't know. Sometimes. Okay.
All right. So this week's episode was called the Doza Dilemma, and the synopsis goes: under orders from Commander Pyre, Kragan and his pirate gang Warbirds embark on a plot to kidnap Captain Doza's daughter, Tora, in order to force Captain Doza to accept First Order protection over the Colossus.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Kragan's spy, Sinara, is tasked with helping the pirate infiltrators, Drell and Velik, infiltrate Doza Tower. Having grown attached to Kaz and his friends, Sinara becomes disillusioned with being a pirate. Drell and Velik manage to kidnap Tora and deliver her to Kragan's barge. First Order forces led by Major Von Reg rescue Tora and return her to Captain Doza, who is under more pressure to accept First Order protection. Meanwhile, Kaz becomes suspicious of Sinara, while Kragan's warbirds sever ties with the First Order. All right, BB Nate, what was your favorite part about this episode?
Hot, Bubby?
What's hot?
Well, there was a lot to take in this episode. There was a ton that happened. They fit a lot of stuff in this episode.
I feel like they're really good at that. They do fit a lot into the episode.
Yeah, they're ramping it up. What did you like about it?
It's a difficult one. There's the BB-8 and Kaz interaction was fun.
I don't remember the BB-8 and Kaz interaction.
Well, they were flying around in the fireball. And chatting with him. That's cool.
BB-8's like, I told you so. The scenario was bad, and he's like, you never did.
Oh, that's right. Towards the end, yeah, there was that kind of has some. Felt a little bit like Luke and R2 somewhat when they were like interacting.
Chopper and
Ezra.
It's that classic droid.
So you like that?
That's cool. Okay. What about you, Dad? What did you like?
I'm just glad that they're moving to what we kind of expected was going to happen all leading up to this point in the series. You know, you've got the First Order now has officially been brought in to the Colossus, and they're protecting the Colossus. And it's it's that whole false flag type approach. So they, are you guys familiar with what they call a false flag operation?
I do not.
Okay.
No.
So, this is the idea behind it. It's where, a governmental agency or some type of an organization like the First Order in this case, creates an emergency themselves and projects that the cause of the emergency on an enemy, someone that looks like their enemy in this case, and then uses that to initiate a battle or to take over an area or something like that. So they bring in the pirates in this case to kidnap Tora. And then they pay the pirates to kidnap Tora.
Right.
And then they rescue Tora,
and then
say, you guys need our protection. And it looks like they're protecting the Colossus, and it was always the plot. And then, let's just be honest, we were watching this episode, and the First Order shows up. It's Von Reg, right?
Yeah, it was Von Reg.
Yeah, it was Von Reg in this case. He shows up on the pirate ship.
Literally, it looked like
It was like pirates. Somebody described it, Maria from back in Marietta that we met at the San Diego. She was commenting that it's kind of like Star Wars meets Pirates of the Caribbean in this episode. And it was true. It kind of felt like that.
It did.
They show up on the ship and the pirates are like, here's Tora. And, we did what you asked us to do.
Where's our payment?
And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, Von Reg's going to kill these pirates right here. And you're thinking, no, this is Disney Channel. This is Star Wars Resistance. They're not going to, oh my gosh, he just killed the pirates. So if you guys have, not seen this, sorry about that. That was a spoiler. But anyway, it was pretty amazing. It was a lot of fun to see that they're going down that path. And as soon as that happened, you kind of know what's going to happen next. Doza is going to accept their offer to help. And it's the way it's going to be going forward. So, Yeah, it was, I liked that a lot.
It was a good episode.
What about you, Sam?
I mean, I loved the episode. It was a great episode. The plot is definitely thickening. It feels less like a Disney Channel kids show, and it's starting to feel more Star Wars-y, you know? The bad guys seem like actual bad guys. But, I mean, one of the things that really stuck out to me for some reason in this episode was the space pirate ship. Yeah, I just really liked amazing, the space pirate it? Ship. It was so cool. I mean, they had, like, parts from old AT-ATs. Yeah, and, like... you know, it's just all, a bunch of, like, old Empire equipment, and it just looked like a Star Wars-y pirate ship,
yeah,
which I thought was cool. But, I mean, pirate ship aside, it was a really good episode. I'm really excited to see where they go with this, but there's not very many. How many episodes are left in this season?
Let's see. Steven Stanton this morning tweeted out, I think March 17th is the final episode for the season. And then he closed out that tweet saying, oh, and by the way, you're going to have a lot to talk about at Star Wars Celebration. So then immediately I replied to Steven and said, are you going to be there to talk about it? Because if so, we'd love to have you on again. But anyway.
And actually meet you.
Yeah, shake your hand and that kind of thing.
But, I got a lot to fit in,
yeah,
in a short amount.
And, the development of the storyline is moving forward, just like Steven said.
It is
back in December to us. It's all been setting up characters. It's all been setting up the, you know, as we've discussed numerous times before. This is not a game of checkers. This is a game of chess. The way that they're telling the story, it's slow. It's moving characters into position. You're not thinking about just the next move. You're thinking about 6, 7, 8 moves down the road.
Right,
and they're putting all of that in place for the ending of this season, and when we get to that, you know, I think it's going to be like I fully believe it's going to be canon impacting in a way that we can't even begin to understand. With that, based on things that Christopher Sean has said, Steven Stanton has said on Twitter, some of these other people that are associated with it, I just have I've got a really good feeling, to quote Han Solo, I've got a good feeling about this. So anyway,
what did you not like about this episode, Nate?
I don't know. There wasn't much I didn't like.
Yeah. What about you, Dad?
Yeah, it's hard to find a lot negative with that episode. It was a great episode.
Yeah, it was. It was just a quality episode.
I would say I kind of was a little bit taken out of the moment when they were on those speeders going across the water and Toro was on the back, just kind of holding on to one of the pirates, like, hey, how's it going? You know, I know you're kidnapping me. Let me just hold on here.
Yeah.
It felt a little bit weird. So that was like the only moment that I remember that I was kind of like going, what in the world just happened with that?
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, just, you know, I guess maybe she's afraid of the giant space Kraken or whatever, because she could have just jumped off, I suppose. But anyway,
well, I think her arms were tied
and
her
were they tied? Okay.
Too, yeah, so everything was tied,
so she was bound up. Oh, okay. So if she jumped out, she probably wouldn't have been able to swim.
That,
anyway,
that's just me being not
no brilliant. I see, at first it caught me off guard too.
Okay.
I guess if I had a nitpick at the episode, the Sonara Kaz relationship wasn't getting a little weird. It seems like Kaz likes her more than just a friend,
or at least they seem going to go down to tease that at route. The beginning. Tam was talking about that. You want to go down there just because you want to go see Sonara.
Yeah, and I think even BB-8 teased him.
Yeah,
he did,
which is fine. It's just it was a little off-putting at first because
we never thought of that being like
right.
We were like shipping Kaz and Sonara going into this.
No,
episode.
I was actually shipping Kaz and Tora.
Yeah,
but
I thought
it's fine. I mean, I just thought it was a little
off-putting, but
yeah,
I feel like it's gonna. I feel like...
I think it'll play, and I don't think they're just going to do it, because they didn't do that in Rebels, when they easily could have done something like that in Rebels with Ezra. But, yeah. Anyway. So we have a clip for...
Well, what's the name of the next episode before we move forward?
I was going to get there. The First Order Occupation,
hey,
right?
Hey, this is my segment,
Nate. It's the First Order Occupation.
This is madness.
Yeah, I know. It's out of control, man.
Yeah. Should I read the description?
Yeah, go for it. Read the description. Yeah, it's your segment.
Well,
dude.
I didn't know if you wanted to do the clip.
No, segment first. Right. Yeah.
He says, Kaz scrambles to help Sonara escape the platform as the First Order sends a contingent of stormtroopers to hunt a spy.
Dun, dun, dun. You guys want to listen to the clip?
Let's listen to the clip.
Here we go.
I have concerns your troops believe their authority supersedes mine. The Colossus is my platform, Pyre. Don't forget that.
Of course, Captain Doza. And our peacekeeping forces are simply doing what you agreed to. Helping to keep your station secure.
Your forces are here only until these pirates are dealt with.
This is for the safety of your family and constituents. You need us, Doza. Don't forget that.
Perhaps Commander Pyre is correct, sir. The Colossus has never been safer than it is now.
But at what cost?
Interesting. I know I've said this before, I got a bad feeling about this. But I like Pyre. I don't know why. I just think he's cool.
The gold.
I know. I want to see a cosplay of him at Celebration.
Do you think we see him in Episode 9 taking Phasma's place? Wouldn't that be cool to see the Episode 9 teaser and all of a sudden there's a gold version of Phasma, and all of a sudden all the Resistance fans are like, see, we told you should have watched this show. It's awesome. And everybody else be like, ooh, it's a gold Phasma, you know?
Yeah, but I'm worried that it might backfire and fans will be like, who the frick is this guy?
No, that you know what they'll
then
do?
Then again, we don't
know. They'll go back and watch all the episodes of Star Wars Resistance, which, again, as Disney shills, we encourage you guys to do that. So
anyway. I mean, I guess we don't know much about Pyre. Much more about Pyre than fans who haven't watched Resistance, so it doesn't.
Yeah, we don't really know anything about him except he's got this. You know, he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
So anyway,
interesting. Anyway,
no character development at all with him yet.
So any predictions for this episode?
The aces will get grounded. We saw that happen in the mid-season trailer.
Right.
Doza grounds the aces, says they can't fly anymore. I think that's going to happen at one point, probably pretty early on in the episode. And then by the end, I've got the feeling that Doza is going to be regretting this arrangement with the First Order and their peacekeepers. Have you ever noticed that in, you know... When somebody's bad, like a bad organization or something like that, they name themselves the exact opposite of who they are and what they do. Like they're peacekeepers. They're not keeping the peace at all.
No.
They're like killing people. The stormtroopers are killing people and stuff. We don't know that yet on the Colossus, but they're definitely not peacekeepers.
No.
Ask Lor San Tekka's village on Jakku if they were peacekeepers.
Right.
And everybody got eliminated. So yeah, I think that we're going to, I also kind of see Kaz as, this will be also from the mid-season trailer. This will be where we see, Neeku say, you know, something about you talk about the First Order all the time. You should really be excited about that because they're all here, yeah. And, you know, that kind of thing. By the end, Kaz is going to basically, going to be revealing himself to Sonara, at least, that he is working with the Resistance. And she's going to, I don't know if we're going to be seeing a relationship between those two.
No,
But I think that Sonara is going to start feeding information about the pirates and the First Order to Kaz. Kaz is going to take that to Captain Doza, and we're going to start seeing where things amp up a lot because we've only got like 6 episodes left. So,
anything,
BB Nate?
Nate?
Sorry, I said a lot there. I know.
No, you're fine. It's just we'll see when we get the episode, and I feel like
you guys know it's not airing on Sunday night.
Oh yeah, it's airing on Monday night.
Yeah, they're airing it on Monday night. Does that mean we get it on Disney Now tomorrow?
I hope. No.
We'll have to wait and see.
Interesting.
So, anyway, yeah. So we may be talking about it on this podcast, and you may be listening to this on Monday morning and have not seen the episode yet, so that would be a fun scenario.
Interesting.
So, yeah. All right. I guess that's pretty much it for this part of it. Baby, it's cold outside in a galaxy far, far away. Crazy Uncle George was planning to have Sheev take over the Senate decades before the prequels. And our favorite scoundrel nearly retired to a desert cantina before episode 7. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right. So, Star Wars Episode 9 set photos. This is, who's this from? Comicbook.com is who I stole this from. Because that's all I do.
Stole.
I just steal other people's stories and we talk about them.
So. Yeah, pretty much.
But I credit you with it. So comicbit.com, you're awesome. All right. Star Wars Episode 9, set photos, tease, snowy planet.
Yay. Are we going to Hoth?
Well, let's see. The Star Wars saga not only regularly features desert planets, but has depicted locations covered in snow multiple times, whether it be Hoth in Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, or Starkiller Base in Star Wars, The Force Awakens. New photos from the set of Star Wars Episode 9 feature another snowy locale, though architectural features rule out those familiar settings returning for the new film. Thoughts on going to a snowy planet?
Starkiller Base 2.0.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Please, please, no.
This is madness.
Yeah, no, no, no.
No!
Please, JJ. JJ, listen to me. I'm speaking to you from the heart as a friend, all right?
Because we know you.
We know you listen.
But we know a guy who met him.
Oh, while we're talking about this, though, so we... remember last week we were talking about that person that's like a Star Wars fan and a Spider-Man fan that gave us that great review.
Oh, like and Star Spider 27 or something
that. We said it, or 73 or 76, 78. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, we were talking about how they must have. I mean, obviously, they were Rian Johnson.
Well, yeah.
So he tweeted to us, the guy did, and he's like, sorry guys, I'm, you know, disappointed, but I'm not Rian Johnson. That's like, dude, you didn't disappoint us. And we never really thought it was Rian Johnson, but that's cool. Anyway, yeah, so JJ, on track here, JJ. I wish I had like some background music right now, you know, like a violin, like I could like really speak to his heart right now. Can you guys sing something?
You know, like in church. When they like,
yeah, when like they're when they're playing the invitation,
and they've got
song,
just like that
yeah,
one little, chord playing yeah. in the background, yeah, like that.
You know, I wish we had some. Hold on, BB Nate's
pulling up some ambience music.
Yeah, give me some ambience music.
Do you even know how to spell ambience?
All right, so we're just gonna hold on just 1 second.
Just here, 1 minute. All right, hold JJ.
JJ, just wait for this. Okay, it's gonna be worth it. All right, because I'm gonna speak to your heart.
Space ambient music.
That's there we go. That'll be perfect. All right. Because I want to make sure. Now you got to make sure the volume's up enough. Put it in front of your mic so it'll read. Turn up a little bit.
It's all the way up.
Okay.
I can't even hear it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, JJ, listen to me from the heart. Okay. We know you like to revisit themes from other movies and from previous movies. We know you really wanted to bring a bigger and badder and better Death Star to Star Wars The Force Awakens in Starkiller Base, and we were all okay with that in that one. I mean, for the most part, fans were okay with that. But I'm just pleading with you from all of fandom. I'm pleading from the heart to your heart, JJ. Do not bring back Starkiller Base in Episode 9. It's not what the fans need, all right? If you're having questions about whether or not this is a good idea, call up your buddy Rian Johnson and ask him, and he will be like, heck no, dude, please don't do that. I'm sure of it. And so, Rian, if you're listening to this episode, please give your buddy JJ a call and encourage him not to bring a bigger and badder Starkiller Base to Episode 9. Sincerely, all of Star Wars fandom. All right. All right, so anyway.
What was that? It could have kept going on for 3 hours and 10 minutes, by the way.
So the pictures, so the photos, it does look like Starkiller Base.
Oh, crap.
So you've got this, like, woods scene and stuff like that, and it's like maybe they're doing a flashback sequence or something, but then you've got these buildings that we haven't seen. I'm just hoping, beyond all hope, we don't have Starkiller Base 2.
Maybe it's Black Spire and it's just in the winter.
Yeah, I doubt that. Okay. All right. Next,
I don't know.
Are we done with that part? I mean, is there really nothing else that we can say about Snowy Base?
No, that was pretty good.
Okay. That was actually really fun. The Emperor's prequel scheme was planned 20 years before The Phantom Menace. This is from ScreenRant.com. They're also, you know, we steal their stuff almost every week. Mm-hmm. Thank you for ScreenRant.com for being our show prep. Thank you. The Emperor, according to J.W. Rinzler's enormous book, The Making of Star Wars, Lucas originally imagined Palpatine's rise as the Emperor through clever maneuvering in 1977. Interesting. Lucas notes stated, one of the chancellors began subverting the Senate and buying off the senators with the help of the large intergalactic power companies. I don't think that means like
electricity
utilities. I'm hoping not.
Really?
It would be kind of strange.
We're gonna I can see George.
But that would
doing
be crazy, Uncle
though.
George.
We're gonna cut off your power.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna cut off the power. We're gonna turn off the power to Alderaan if you don't submit yourselves to our authority. Okay. By the time the third term came along, he had corrupted so much of the Senate that they made him emperor for the rest of his life.
That sounds really dumb.
No, it's exactly what happens in the prequels.
I know.
Pretty close. I mean, not exact. Yeah, but.
So the article goes on to say this largely fits what happened in the Star Wars prequels. At that point, the Emperor hadn't appeared on screen yet when he wrote the script in 1977.
Right, he was just
Palpatine's story shifted over time, but the foundation upon which he became Emperor was always there. So what do you think about that? Do you think that basically the thought process that went into the prequels, at least the outer skeleton of the prequels, was already in George's mind before he filmed The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and all
well,
that?
Well, yeah, he said he'd always wanted to do... Like, didn't he say he'd always wanted to do, like, a six-part movie or
something?
Yeah,
he said, I think in some magazine back in the 70s that he went out and said that his desire was to make 4, 5, and 6. And then he had to write a prequel story so he could figure out how they got into the position that things were. And that's what 1, 2, and 3 were. And then he's also written a story about where things would go, which was 7, 8, and 9 in his mind.
Right.
So I guess the question then is... If he had all that planned out, and for the most part, the skeleton of it came to pass in the prequel trilogy, and he probably had some type of an idea of where things were going to go in the sequel trilogy, do you think that we're getting the skeleton of that in 7, 8, and 9?
I don't think so.
What do you think?
A rough outline?
You do recall that JJ was brought on by Kathleen Kennedy, and he like spent significant time with George in order to get the idea of the plan for 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah, I think the rough outline skeleton is in place.
Yeah, I mean you can find it online where I think JJ talks about what the plan was by Lucas, and it seems to be following basically for the most part what we see in 7, 8, and 9. So.
Interesting.
So all of you that hate Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams and Disney...
And want George Lucas back.
And they want George Lucas back. You're probably getting pretty close to what George wanted. So anyway, all right. But that's because we're
shills.
We just made like $475,000 by me saying that statement because we're shills.
True.
Okay, so, you know, anyway. Star Wars The Force Awakens almost brought back Han Solo in a very different way.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, me too. But in the original concept art, it appears Solo was spending some time at a cantina with a few drunkards. The quote here says, this was a concept of how... This is from Instagram, so who was this? I don't remember who this is.
Crad.
Oh, listen, Buster's barking upstairs. Okay, that's awesome. All right.
What is he barking?
I don't know. Anyway, all right, this is a concept of how we might meet Han in Star Wars The Force Awakens, out drinking everyone at a cantina. So this is from someone by the last name of Altman. So whoever made that book, he took a photo. I'm sorry. I'm a bad show prep here. Apologize. Altman wrote on Instagram, in this image, Solo sits alone at the bar with one person knocked out from presumably too much drinking. The scene is eerily similar to how we first met Han in A New Hope, where he was hanging out at the Mos Eisley Cantina. Hmm. Would you have liked... Now, of course, we know that we are reintroduced to Han Solo in The Force Awakens as his transport ship captures the Falcon. And he comes on and we have the famous Chewie, we're home moment. That's the first time we see Han in the sequel trilogy. Would you have liked to have seen Han sitting in a cantina drinking some Corellian ale or something similar? Like, what's that crazy stuff from Bloodlines? Do you remember the...
Port in a Storm.
Port in a Storm. Drinking some Port in a Storm. Would you like to have seen him that way, or do you like the way we got him?
The way we got him. I feel like it worked better. I feel like the pacing would have been a little off if they went to the cantina and was like, oh!
Hey, there's Han. He's drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think both ways show a different iconic side of Han. And it was dependent on which one they wanted to set the theme for the rest of the movie. And I think they went with the Falcon one because it it just showed that it just it introduced him in the way they wanted him to be in the rest of the series, not some drunk, washed up guy. You know, some guy who's still making it work, still looking for the Falcon, but still making, you know, doing his thing and hanging out with Chewie. And I just, yeah, that's my thought. My
but the thing is, we still don't know what Han has been doing for at least the last 5 or 6 years before The Force Awakens.
Because well, wasn't he a race trainer?
Well, yeah, in the Bloodlines, he's still with, in Bloodlines, the novel by Claudia Gray, he's still with Leia. Ben is still Ben. Ben is out training with Luke. And he's, you know, he's training, you know, Han is out training racers and stuff like that for the what's the name of the race?
Five Sabers.
The Five Sabers race. Yeah. He's training racers for that. But in reality, he's still, you know, married to Leia and all this stuff.
Right.
But something has happened between that and Force Awakens. And we don't know what that story is. We have no idea. What he's been doing. What's that?
You think we'll get it in Resistance? No.
No, I don't think we're going to get it in Resistance because it's too close. I think they're moving the storyline much too quickly towards Hosnian Prime and Starkiller Base and stuff like that for us to be dealing too much with that. What we've got to see happen in the next couple episodes, we're going back to our Resistance recap stuff, but we're going to have to see BB-8 get out of Kaz's control because we know he's with Poe when we get to Hosnian Prime.
Or with Rey.
Well, he's with Poe on Jakku at the beginning of The Force Awakens, and that's before the events of Starkiller Base and Hosnian Prime. So BB-8 is going to have to get out of here pretty quickly in the next couple of episodes. They're not going to have time to bring Han in at this point, which disappoints me. I wanted to see Han in this. I thought when they started talking about racing and the Five Sabers in that episode with Yeager's brother and all that we were
going to
see.
Yeager's brother was going to be Han. They changed Remember. It.
Yeah. No, it disappoints me. So anyway, okay. I mean, I get it. It would have just, I think it would have overshadowed the story of Yeager. If that was the case, that whole episode would have been out of control. I would be still fanboying over it anyway. But I think that, you know, we could have seen a lot of Han in a cantina getting drunk, feeling like he let down Ben. That he's, you know, him and Leia, their relationship has fallen apart and, he's got a lot to drink about, you know, in reality. I mean, that's not the right way to solve your problems, but this is Han Solo we're talking about. He doesn't necessarily always solve his problems the right way. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe he went back to Kira. No. Okay.
If All Kira's right. alive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's not dead. We haven't seen her die yet. So anyway, all right. I guess that's pretty much sets it up for hot takes. All right, so it's February as we record this. It's February 2nd. Just so you know. Yeah, anyway. And we still haven't gotten a trailer.
Or a title.
Or a teaser, or even a title for episode 9.
Which is kind of ridiculous.
It is a little ridiculous. Come on, JJ.
Some freaking meat.
Yeah, give me something to talk about on this show. Anyway, which has caused the fans to occupy their time coming up with some pretty interesting theories for the film. And this week, we are going to break down 4 of the more interesting ones we found. Wrong intro.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
Find your lack of faith disturbing.
That, you know, you guys can't distract me when I'm trying to do my job because I have a hard enough time doing it without the distraction. I know. Gosh. All right. All right. So here we go. So I found an article on gamesradar.com called Star Wars 9 Theories, and it had a bunch of them on there. Like
had 9.
Like 7 or 8 or 9 or something like that. Anyway, I picked 4 of them that I thought were actually, you know, rather interesting.
Rather interesting.
And these are just theories, so you know we're not like predicting anything. We don't watch Mike Zero videos. Not that those
He's
are
gonna have a hard
anyway.
Time making content this week. There's no trailer for episode 9 on Star Wars.
He's going to make a content video about how they were going to do a trailer in the Super Bowl.
No.
And then they decided not to do the trailer in the Super Bowl because the movie was so bad.
They were going to do one where Luke was going to try and pull down a Star Destroyer.
No, that's what he does. He's got like 7 of those videos.
So, I know.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. Their first theory is Star Wars 9, this is interesting, is set 5 to 10 years after The Last Jedi.
That's not how the Force works.
We heard from John Boyega in an
interview that it was a year.
It was about a year.
Yeah. But given that The Last Jedi... Again, this is all this is taken from GamesRadar.com. Given that The Last Jedi ends on such an unrecoverable downer, and then they put some commentary in, The Empire Strikes Back has nothing on the death of Luke Skywalker and the near-complete destruction of the Resistance. Wonder where they land on The Last Jedi. Anyway, some Star Wars theories suggest that with so much to cover in Episode 9, the next film won't actually be the traditional redemptive happy ending finale at all. The idea is that the new film will see the last handful of surviving heroes battle an increasingly powerful Kylo Ren and ultimately fail, leading into a new Empire versus Rebellion storyline in episodes 10 through 12. While you can see the logic behind this idea, there's a heck of a lot to wrap up in one movie. This particular Star Wars theory has apparently been left dead in the water by the fact that Lucasfilm's official Star Wars 9 cast announcement refers to it as the final installment of the Star Wars saga.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I thought it was the last movie.
Wow!
This could be a really cunning piece of misdirection, of course, but we suspect it's true. There's so much more galaxy to explore, not least the new Star Wars movies from the Game of Thrones showrunners David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, and I will insert Rian Johnson's trilogy, and it seems likely Star Wars 9 will be the last to carry an episode title. Samuel LaHutt, comments, thoughts, suggestions, questions?
I wouldn't mind it starting off 5 to 10 years later, when the First Order has taken over the galaxy, there's no hope, there's just a small band of rebels, which is just like episode 4 sounds like. I wouldn't mind that. As for it ending on a bad note and then they wrap it all up in the next trilogy, I don't like that. I feel like it's just gonna, it's the same song, second verse, or is that how it goes? I just feel like it's going to get really repetitive. While I don't mind another Star Wars movie, I don't want the same Star Wars movie over and over again, you know? I think they started off episode 9 off in a on a really dark, ominous, tragic note, and then they wrap it up in the end. I think that's how they do it, but that's just my opinion.
Yep. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
Well, I don't think that they're going to have any, like he said, I don't think they're going to have any more trilogy for the Skywalker saga or anything like that. I don't think they're going to do anything with it. I don't think they're going to touch it. And I don't think they should, particularly. It's getting, not annoying, per se, but it's getting repetitive. Like, please just move on. I'd like the story to be wrapped up, and it's going to be great when it gets wrapped up, but just, we gotta move on. We gotta get to somewhere else. We gotta have Rian Johnson's trilogy in the unknown regions, as it says, in the
Benioff and Weiss series of movies.
And so
maybe the Kenobi movie that we've all been begging for and that kind of thing.
It doesn't all have to be about the Skywalkers.
No.
Well, I think that's what's interesting about this. I mean, Star Wars is all about the Skywalkers. It always has been about the Skywalkers.
Keeping
I mean,
up the Skywalkers.
You know, but the reality is the greater story of the Star Wars galaxy the Skywalker saga is being told within. It existed long before we had this episode 4 moment where Luke is there. And of course, then we know that that actually got started with episode 1 with Anakin. And you've got to remember, I'm reminded as you're talking, BB Nate, I was thinking about what Qui-Gon calls Anakin when he's talking to the council. He says, I have found a vergence in the Force. It's like, do you remember that?
No, I remember that. I'm just trying to remember.
A vergence is where something goes off track.
I thought it was where something intersect. I guess that would sort of.
Let's see. All right. Hey, Siri. What is a vergence?
A vergence is the simultaneous movement of both eyes in opposite directions to obtain or maintain single binocular vision when a creature with binocular vision looks at an object. The eyes must rotate around a horizontal axis so that the projection of the image is in the center of the retina in both eyes.
Want to hear more?
No! Okay.
At first you were like, okay.
That's clear as mud.
Okay. At first you were just kind of sitting there like, okay. Okay. What?
What just happened?
Okay. So
every word in that sentence is wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Impressive. Every word in that sense was wrong.
How about this one, too?
This is madness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So what I was going to say, maybe we won't use the word virgins at this point. I see what happens with Anakin, which we know is implied. It has to do with the dark side powers that were being executed by Plagueis and Palpatine. Whether or not Palpatine literally impregnates Shmi through the Force is not the issue. We know that Anakin rises as a result of
a darkness.
The darkness that's being practiced by
Snoke.
It's the balance of the Force type Snoke thing. Yeah, exactly. From Last Jedi. Can we just watch that movie again? Anyway.
I want to watch all the movies.
Oh my gosh. But anyway, yeah, that'll be thrilling to mom tonight. So the point I'm making is things got off track with Anakin. Things got out of balance with Anakin. And so what I see the end of this saga of movies, Skywalker saga movies is doing, is bringing everything back into balance again for the first time. Mm. And then at this point, we don't need the Skywalker saga anymore.
No.
So I think that you know, just relaunching it the same way over and over again would be a mistake.
That's
so,
not the same.
Cool. All right. That was just one out of four theories. We,
oh, that's good. Great.
And we got to have Siri on the show. So yeah. That was cool.
Next time.
Hold on. Let's see. I'm going to ask Siri another question to see what she says.
We should Google.
Hold on. Ask hey, Siri. Are you a Star Wars fan?
Sorry. I don't really know.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's check mine because mine's smarter.
Are we doing Google?
Okay, Google.
You got to have your sound on.
Are you a Star Wars fan?
I can search the web for you.
Screw you.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. That got a little escalated there.
No.
All right. Didn't work. Okay. All right. So let's move on to the next one. Hux will be the real villain. All right. So if the First Order, or rather Kylo's New Order, is allowed to take control of the galaxy... Hold on, BB-8, I want to make sure you're paying attention to our show.
They wanted me to send feedback for how it was, and so I said, didn't answer my question.
Okay, there we go. All right, Hux will be the real villain. So if the First Order, or rather Kylo's New Order, is allowed to take control of the galaxy, where do things go from there? In Supreme Leader Kylo Ren, we don't have an all-out bad force wizard intent on crushing the galaxy under his dark side boot. Or do we? Anyway. In fact, we don't really know what we have because Kylo doesn't yet particularly seem to know what he wants at all. His actions at the end of The Last Jedi are the product of pure knee-jerk emotional instinct rather than any kind of long game strategy or manifesto. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. He doesn't advocate
it's Sith that or Skywalker in him.
Yeah, he doesn't advocate Sith or Jedi, Republic or Empire. He just wants to burn down all the constructs of failure and betrayal that led to his misery and replace them with something. So some plausible Star Wars theories suggest that whatever this suggests that something is, it won't echo anything we've previously seen in the Star Wars saga. The Last Jedi's breaking of the mold made sure of that. And it's possible that the key First Order figures who had previously come very close to realizing the victory they'd worked toward for years are going to be particularly displeased by the new state of affairs. General Hux, for example, has never been a big fan of Kylo Ren, and he'll have been particularly wound up by the former Ben Solo snatching the First Order leadership after Snoke's demise. Captain Phasma, assuming she survived her fiery fall on the Supremacy, do you guys really think that that's a possibility?
I think it'd be...
Oh, yeah.
She can
survive. I mean, if Darth Maul can survive what happens in Episode 1, and Phasma could have survived what she just
did. And, you didn't see... You didn't read the Captain Phasma comic.
I did not.
That was a great comic, and she literally went through everything afterwards. She was on a different planet. She met with so many supernatural, like, animals, like, that were terrorizing a planet, destroyed the...
Have you read it?
Yeah.
No, but I might get it for Celebration.
It's really good, but short. It's just a comic book, though. It's short.
Yeah,
really short.
So Captain Phasma, assuming she survived her fiery fall on the Supremacy, may also be tempted to join in a Hux insurrection. BB Nate, what do you think? I think we already talked about the Phasma part, but what do you think about the idea that Hux will lead a coup or revolt against Kylo Ren because Kylo Ren is not really Supreme Leader or Emperor material?
I don't want that. Okay, I don't particularly want that. I feel like that we've always had the Sith to be the leaders of the Empire. Like, the Emperor was the leader of the Empire. Snoke was the leader of the First Order until Kylo Ren
killed him. He's not a Sith, though. They've gone on record.
I know, but Kylo Ren is.
Oh, dark side users. He's not a Sith either. He's
dark side users is what you're thinking of.
Dark side users, there we go.
Okay.
So, let's just be accurate. I feel like it'd just be kind of really weird. Like, the workers are going on a strike. We don't want that.
Okay. What do you think about that, Sam?
I think we talked about this a little bit before on a previous episode. And I think our general conclusion was, if they decide to do this, it means they're pretty much going to go down a Bendemption route.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So you got to ask the question, do you want Ben Solo to be redeemed?
I don't know. We'll have to talk about that this month on our theme.
Yeah.
Oh, that's next month.
Next month. But... Yeah.
Which we never even did our July or January one. Gosh, we suck. We got to do our January hope episode sometime.
Jeez. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
I like the idea. I'm just worried about how they'll do.
How they'd execute it?
Yeah. Yeah. And how they've handle the character of Kylo Ren or Ben Solo.
Yeah, they kind of made Hux out to be sort of a bumbling idiot in the last episode. Then to make him rise up to be like this, you know, significant baddie in episode 9 would be weird.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So, okay. Cool. All right. Next episode or next one. Star Wars 9 is going to do the Gray Force properly. Interesting. The Last Jedi gets really, really close to making it official, but never quite cements the idea. Kylo Ren is neither Sith nor Jedi, taking power in order to enact an entirely new path devoted to neither the light or dark sides of the Force. Rey has decided to discover her own new way of being a Jedi, free from the doctrines and limitations of old. She has Luke and Yoda's blessing in doing this. The core theme of the whole movie is that the ways of the past always hold back progress if adhered to too closely. Everything is set up to explore a galaxy attaining peace and progress through a rejection of binary viewpoints and outdated ways of thinking. And if Ren now finds himself battling a resurgent First Order representing an attempted return to tradition, then that opens the doors up wide for a new combined faction of Greyside progressives to come together, made up of Ren supporters and resistant remnants alike, to shut down the old ways for good. Could we see Kylo Ren and Rey fighting side by side? We've talked about this as a possibility before. Poe Dameron leading orange-clad resistance fighters alongside Reformed First Order pilots.
Oh, man. To see... Hold on. Sorry.
Yeah. What if, and this would be truly wonderful, we saw Finn finally exercise his demons by leading a squad of fellow stormtrooper deserters against a platoon of Phasma's own. Wow. Narratively and thematically, this all fits together brilliantly, making a complete shared arc out of Kylo and Rey's... but conflicting viewpoints and entirely realizing the forward-looking philosophy of The Last Jedi. And it would do so in a way that still allows for a massive climactic fight, delivering traditional Star Wars highs wrapped around a fresh new meaning. Ren and Rey have up to now been yin and yang, equal but opposite forces. Maybe they will belatedly bring the mythical balance to the Force the prophecy mentioned all those movies ago. What do you guys think about
that? I've just got this mental picture of my head of, like, this army of rebels and then... Or resistance fighters and then stormtroopers all running together to fight this evil. And then, you know, you see X-Wings and TIE fighters flying together.
Oh. And Kylo and Rey fighting
side by side.
Well, that would be bizarre.
I'm not sure I'm entirely against it,
though. I'm not either. I actually kind of think it would be pretty amazing.
What if Phasma didn't make it out?
And she's, yeah, it's like, it's Phasma and Hux. It goes back to the one we talked about before, where Hux is sort of leading the thing. And that fits narratively with the First Order idea. The First Order is supposed to be a resurrection of the Empire. And Kylo Ren doesn't seem to want to go down that path. Let the past die is what he says and things like that. So I could see him, I could see this as being reasonably plausible.
But what if Phasma decided to join
Finn? No, that won't happen.
She won't.
No, she absolutely hates Finn. And so I could see Finn leading some stormtroopers alongside Poe leading. That would be pretty amazing. Just crazy. I know that chronologically speaking, based on the time frames and timelines and all that stuff, I'm not sure that this is a plausible scenario. But do we know what happens to Captain Rex after Star Wars Rebels and Endor? Because, you know, it's been confirmed he was on Endor with Han. Do we know what happens to him after that?
I don't think so, but he'd be really old.
He would be old.
He wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, what if they could figure out a way to, like, slow the aging process in a clone? And he is like somehow shows up helping lead stormtroopers and stuff like that. I just would love to see that.
I mean, I like the idea, but that just might be getting a little bit weird and a little bit too complicated for what they're going for, I think.
Yeah, I'd love it.
But I like the idea of Rex and like a group of old clones or something. But
yeah, bringing in some clones to join alongside. They've talked about they're wanting to bring all three trilogies together. That would be a really interesting
thing. And then the First Order starts resurrecting or reusing old Separatist droids.
Oh, jeez. Jeez. It even goes back to what Kylo Ren says to Hux in Force Awakens. You know, maybe the Supreme Leader should use a clone army.
Mm-hmm.
Is what he says.
Yeah.
What if they bring back the clones?
Ooh. Well, then it would have to be 5 to 10 years after, so the clones could.
Oh,
whew.
It's like bring all three theories together in one.
I'm liking where we're going. Our headcanon's amazing. It's not going to happen.
None of this anything. Is going to. Hold on. Just in the immortal words of Master Jedi Luke Skywalker.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Yeah, we know.
None of this is happening.
Having fun, and we wouldn't have to do this if you'd give us a trailer we could talk about. So anyway.
Or a title.
At least a title, yeah. Like, title, The Return of the Clones, or, you know.
Goodness. Yeah. Return of the Clankers.
The Clankers. Clankers arise. All right. Okay. Last theory. Lando might not be a good guy.
Which I don't like this theory.
Again, Lucasfilm has confirmed that the original Lando Calrissian is back in the fold for the first time since Return of the Jedi. This is great news. He's been the only one of the key surviving characters not to come back for the Disney movies. But there's no reason to suspect he's still the redeemed scoundrel who led the assault on the Death Star. If there's one consistent factor in the rebooted trilogy, it's that the intervening three decades haven't been kind to returning characters, with Han, Luke, and Leia all having been put through the ringer in various ways. We'd be surprised if things hadn't been the same for Lando when we catch up with him in Episode 9. Ever the opportunist, perhaps he's been forced back into his old pirating ways.
Mm.
There's also a couple of plot beats from Solo, A Star Wars Story that some Star Wars theories suggest we might see picked up in the latest entry in the saga. We'd love to see a reunion with his old droid sidekick, L337, who we now know is joined with the Millennium Falcon. Confirmed by Jason Fry, the author of the Last Jedi novelization, who inserted it into the story, and I asked him about it on Twitter, and he confirmed that is L337's consciousness talking in that book. And also a return to the Calrissian Chronicles, the diaries we hear from recording in Solo. Maybe it'll turn out the whole Star Wars saga was based on Lando's memoirs. What do you think about just the whole general idea of Lando being a scoundrel again, not being a respectable businessman, as Han calls him. Fits the character
perfectly.
Going back to being a scoundrel?
I think we're first going to see him as a scoundrel. He's going to do the classic Lando thing, act like he's a good guy, betray him, and then come back and help.
Wow, that would be cool. What do you think, BB Nate?
I don't know. I feel like I want Lando to be a straight-up good guy out of everything that's happened. Like, Ben betraying Leia. And
you know,
Han dying.
You do know that in the Last Shot novel, Ben calls Lando Uncle Lando. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like, there's a relationship there. Yeah. And so there's and so generally like... been that, the idea that Ben was, or that Lando was going to be associated with the redemption of Ben Solo.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It kind of ties into that idea that, that concept art of Han Solo from The Force Awakens too, with, you know, and what we talked about, I think last week, where, you know, the idea of going to Tatooine and finding Lando in the cantina, there, maybe he's turned his back on everything and he's just in it for himself again, and a drunkard in the cantina, and Finn and Poe or something are sent to find him, and they're off seeking the great general Lando Calrissian from the rebellion, and he's
very Yoda-esque.
He's a complete, well, no, he's not like he's hidden. He's like, he's a bad guy. He's a crook, and he's a drunk, and he's nothing of what they expected him to be. Worse than what we saw with Luke, who had just basically wanted to exile himself in The Last Jedi. It's like, I don't want to have anything to do with this rebellion. I don't want to have anything to do with this resistance. I got involved before and it turned out poorly for me. I'm now going to do what I want to do on my own, and you just need to get the heck out of here before I shoot you. You know, it's kind of a Lando. What would you guys think about that sort of a character that he ends up being reluctantly brought in?
I've always imagined him after 6 going back to Bespin.
Well, he does. In the Aftermath novels, it's clearly laid out that way.
Right, and he continues to run Bespin, and he becomes, you know, super, really powerful, high up there, wealthy, but he gets there through deceit and trickery and things. So he's a bad guy in that regard, but he's not this low life that you're promoting, or that you're suggesting. I don't not like the idea. I'd like to see my Bespin, you know, living it up, but I mean, I guess it goes back to what I was saying about Han. It depends on which way what character they're trying to portray for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. I think, this trilogy has moved towards subverting expectations. So if expectations are he's the governor of Bespin, and he's coming to the rescue of Leia because he heard the beacon that went out, and he's going to redeem Ben Solo. If those are the expectations, I feel like we almost are assuredly going to see the exact opposite of that, because at this point, that seems to be what this trilogy is all about. It's taking our headcanon and turning it upside down, which, again, that goes back to the idea of Finn leading a revolt of stormtroopers and TIE fighters and X-Wings flying alongside each other, and them all going against the First Order and all that, you know, this rebellion going on. So I feel like we're going to find a Lando that's not what we expect when we get to that. So pretty cool. Well, those were fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I just want to take a break here and ask a question to all of you listening to this podcast. Have you actually ever thought about starting a podcast yourself? A year ago, roughly, December of 2017, when we decided to start our own podcast and Tatooine Sons became a real thing, we had lots of questions like, how do we record an episode? How do we get our show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the other places people listen to podcasts? And then, how do we make money from it? And the answer to every one of these questions that we found over the last year is really simple. It's Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can actually match you with some great sponsors too, so you can actually get paid to podcast. And that's one of the things we love. We're getting sponsors reaching out to us about sponsoring our Tatooine Sons podcast has been awesome, but also the ease to getting this out there to all of the other platforms. And so if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. We can't wait to hear your podcast. All right, then. So, anything else?
Anything else?
Anthony Daniels wraps filming as C-3PO.
Yeah, I sent out that tweet, and it was, like, kind of sad.
I don't think he's done with the character, though.
But it seemed to imply that he was. with that. And then you have Brian Herring the next day tweet out about the last scenes with BB-8, which he also does the Porgs. So we have to, we asked him if he's confirming whether or not Porgs are in the new movie. We'd love for just to know right now whether there are Porgs in that movie would give us hope that Turbis was going to be made canon in that movie. So if we see a, I think if we see a Porg in the teaser, we're going to lose our minds. Let's just be honest. If there's a Porg on the Millennium Falcon in the teaser. But yeah, what do you think? Do you think this is the end of Anthony Daniels playing C-3PO? I mean, eventually he's not going to be able to play that character anymore.
Well, it ain't right now.
You don't think so? BB-8?
I think they bring him back. Okay. He's more of a famous character than everything.
Okay.
All right, Star Wars fans. These are the limited edition Lego sets you've been looking for.
Whoa. Did you see those? Those are amazing. 20th anniversary of Lego Star Wars.
And what's cool is not only is there, you know, the cool sets, but they come with old minifigures from like the original sets, which I thought was the coolest thing ever. But there's a Slave One set. And
how much is it? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm gonna set up a GoFundMe.
They haven't released it. Sort of. And on that note, you want to help us get to $250 a month in support,
so I can get a Slave One Lego. I swear, I've always wanted a Slave One Lego.
Yeah, it'd be a good time.
That
to get it.
And the Lego Death Star. Yeah. And that really, really fancy Millennium Falcon they came out with a couple
years ago. Big one. The $800 one or whatever.
I know.
All right. Original Star Wars script for Episode 4. I'm sure at that time it was still called The Adventures of Luke Skywalker. Luke Starkiller.
The Adventures of Luke Starkiller is what it was going to be called.
Yeah, originally, yeah. confirms that Luke and Leia weren't meant to be twins. Originally there was no time. Well, let's just be honest. George was making it up as he went when it comes to... I think the shell was there, the overarching story, but like the characterizations, he hadn't figured those things out. So we get to Episode 5 and he's like, let's make, Darth Vader is dead, you know? And then he gets to Episode 6 and he's like, we got to find another one. So, you're twins. Yeah. I know you were kissing on Hoth. It doesn't matter. So anyway. Yeah,
it's a great
sound like George like Lee. For the first Kermit. 10 seconds it sound like Kermit.
And then... yeah, he's Kermit the Frog here. Yeah, I'm terrible at these things. So anyway,
all right.
Yeah, so let's talk about next week's. I always do that. This current week, the one starting right now as you listen to this podcast. This week's podcast poll of the week, which episode 9 theory is your favorite? The 4 that we talked about. So Star Wars 9 is set 5 to 10 years after The Last Jedi. Hux will be the real villain. Star Wars 9 is going to do the Gray Force properly, or Lando might not be a good guy. And of course, always feel free to comment below if you have another 5th idea that you want to talk about. So I guess that pretty much does it. Thank you guys so much for listening to Tatooine Sons of Star Wars podcast and following us on Twitter at Tatooine Sons, Instagram at Tatooine Sons, Facebook.com/Tatooine Sons, Patreon.com. Thank you so much for your support. / Tatooine Sons, YouTube. .com/TatooineSons, TatooineSons.com. What else?
I don't know.
That pretty much covers it. Review us. Yeah. Please. Right now. It'll take you like 10 seconds. You know, you've got 10 seconds. So thank you guys for listening to this podcast. And I guess that's pretty much it for this week. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.